Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. It came to my attention last week that a lot of people may not be aware of the fact of how Congress really works. And this came up in a conversation regarding a potential state legislator who might be running for Congress. This is happening in a couple of legislative districts within a lot of red states. Folks, do not let your state legislator try to convince them with everything you've got to prove that they cannot go into Congress. Not now. They have to wait until we clean and clear that swamp, because Trump couldn't drain the swamp. Congress is incapable, and no entity within the federal government would ever want to drain the swamp, because they are all, the swamp is the deep state. And they've got a secret agenda, and they're driving this country to its demise. There's no way they would ever drain it. They may give you this perception that, oh, well, they got rid of this person. There we go, like at the FBI or the CIA. While the whole machine continues to get deeper entrenched into the swamp or into the deep state. I tell you, I know good people in the intelligence community that are absolute, and they're scared for their lives and for their jobs, because they've seen what is going on, and they're seeing how it's not safe. The deep state has taken over. Most all of these good people are former military. And that's because they were patriots, they had their clearances, and it was an easy ticket to punch to go get a civilian job. However, they're hiring, and as a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, go read, I think it's Robert Spencer, the Jihad, or the politically incorrect book on Islam. I think it's Robert Spencer. I'll look it up during the break, but I'm telling you this because he points out that known members of the Brotherhood of Islam are within and operating within the FBI, that there was actually documented evidence where people were providing witness to the fact that there were people cheering when the two towers in New York fell in offices of the FBI. I want you to understand, it is only getting worse and worse. And this is why we cannot allow congressmen. So we're going to be putting up on Reclaiming the Republic some videos you have to see, where we're going to be putting up some content regarding how a congressman's votes are for sale. You want to know why and how they get rich? We're going to expose it. As a matter of fact, we're not exposing it. This is something that was exposed by an author who actually published a book and actually helped people realize, but this book has been downplayed and actually ignored and has actually been attacked, you know, by both liberals and quasi-conservatives, in other words, deep state operatives. Just like there's an effort in downplaying Republic Review and all of the issues that we are supporting with Reclaiming the Republic. See, I'm about Reclaiming the Republic. Republic Review is one of the issues we are, and we're the only, actually, we're not the only organization pushing this. It may have originated here, but go to the Wyoming GOP website, go to the National Liberty Alliance. You will find that there is a promotion for Republic Review, Now, it may not be obvious on the Wyoming GOP. You'll have to get into the resolutions, but they are pushing this. They're understanding because the heat that they're taking from the John Birch Society that they've kind of pulled down, they actually used to have put out the information regarding the Republic Review Committee. And there's been enough John Birchers that have created hate and discontent to the Wyoming GOP that they've actually pulled that down just to help sanitize so that it would shut them up. Because, wow, the John Birch Society considers compliance to the Constitution is too radical. This is leadership, and this is how the deep state operates. Now, what we want to do is we want to get into where we left off with the Monroe Doctrine. So I don't want to delay too much at all. What I want to do is kind of pick up where I left off. And before I do that, I need to just do these real quick obligatories. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, we were on Rumble. I hope you enjoyed it. And do not forget that we have these awesome companies. If you need financial coaching, you need to go to Fortitude Financial Coaching to help you actually build wealth and become like no one else, being independent financially. Do you dream of being able to pay off your house? You can, but you have to focus. Almost any and every one of us can easily focus on paying off our home. You just have to have that fortitude. You have to stop getting those new cars and making all those, what we may say is, you know, lavish vacations and so forth. Anyway, Fortitude Financial Coaching. And as a matter of fact, that information should be up, but I don't think it is right now. I've got to chastise myself. There's slapping on the back of the hand, and I will get that stuff up hopefully by this weekend. Free Constitution classes at constitutioneducation.us. If you are looking to help people learn and understand the Constitution, this is a great way to do that. Timbernation.com. If you are looking for that quality furniture, you've heard me. I'm going to show you, because actually, I'm going to let TimberNation.com show you this desk that they did. And there's nothing like having 2 inches. Your front door isn't even 2 inches thick. And this desktop and everything that they do is 2-inch thick hard wood. I'm telling you, they're heavy. You know, there's lots of reasons why, you know, nobody makes them like this, but it comes with free shipping. Anyway, buck up. Check this out. Check them out. TimberNation.com, RadioDeskCovers.com. And I don't want to be remiss. I know I have my ads for Ad Local, but Benjamin Carr, I'm hoping to get him on next to do an interview, to a conversation of what got him here, how, you know, what did he go through, but more importantly, how we met and what the moment where he changed his focus in life to being from just strictly focused on making money to actually making a difference. Because he has been involved in a few different organizations and doing a few different things, and he's been truly trying to make a difference. Anywho, 425-270-5416 is the comment line, and we're going to move forward. Back to what Monroe was saying, this is the next paragraph. The people being with us exclusively the sovereign, it is indispensable that full information be laid before them on all important subjects to enable them to exercise that high power with complete effect. If kept in the dark, they may be incompetent to it. We are all liable to error, and those who are engaged in the management of public affairs are more subject to excitement and to be led astray by their particular interests and passions than the great body of our constituents who, living at home in their pursuit of their ordinary avocations, are calm but deeply interested spectators of events and the conduct of those parties to it. I mean, look at this. He's actually laying it out to say, we as leaders, we have to start informing them and we have to let them understand what they're doing. We don't want to keep them in the dark so that everyone can be competent, because if not, they will be left to incompetence. In other words, is your organization doing things, but it's not actually talking about how you want to lead? You're not doing the public relations stuff and being bold and being aggressive in how you're taking on constitutional compliance and demanding full compliance of the Constitution? Then you're really missing it. You need to be 100% on board, and you need to get everybody informed, because this is what brings people to the table. People, you know, things are different, and it may be a little bit of a shock value, maybe up front, maybe, but bringing them on board eradicates incompetence. To the people, every department of the government and every individual in each are responsible, and the more full their information, the better they can judge of the wisdom of the policy pursued and of the conduct in each in regard to it. From their dispassionate judgment, much aid. Well, we'll start off with from their dispassionate judgment. I mean, this language is truly a leader. And you could tell this guy, James Monroe, was a military man because of his boldness. And not that anybody can be, but it's just more common amongst the military or people former military. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so I will say this, that we all have our biases, and so forgive me. I mean, we have to kind of stop being, and I hope I never come across as a thin-skinned guy. I do respond. I mean, when somebody starts yelling, I do yell back, right? When somebody starts pushing, I push back. You can't blame a person for reacting when somebody, but if somebody perceived, and as a matter of fact, I'm not the first one to yell back. As a matter of fact, when I get a chance, I say, well, why are you yelling? But sometimes it's not perceived that way. But when you look at, you know, the interactions and so forth, I mean, come on. Let's become calmer. Let's become more dispassionate, as Monroe uses here. So let me move on. From their dispassionate judgment, much aid may always be obtained, while their approbation will form the greatest incentive and most gratifying reward for virtuous actions, and the dread of their censure, the best security against the abuse of their confidence. Their interest in all vital questions are the same, and the bond by sentiment as well as by interest will be proportionably strengthened as they are better informed of the real state of affairs, especially in difficult conjunctures. It is by such knowledge that local prejudices and jealousies are surmounted, and that a national policy extending its foresting care and protection to all the great interests of our Union is formed and steadily adhered to. A precise knowledge of our relations with foreign powers as respects our negotiations and transactions with each is thought to be particularly necessary. You know what, folks? He was trying to have a complete transparent administration and trying to put America on a transparent path in how and why we were dealing with foreign nations moving forward. Today, look at how secretive Obama, Biden, some of these dark people have been, and deep state actors are being. I mean, look at how many times different players in Congress, like Teddy Kennedy, going to and communicating with the Russia behind President Reagan's back, feeding them information. As far as I'm concerned, Teddy Roosevelt ought to be dug up out of the Arlington Cemetery and given to the family to say, you do with it what you will. He's proven himself treasonous because that was actually treason. It wasn't disclosed and wasn't put out to anybody until after he had died and been buried. And so or most people didn't even pay attention to that fact. But many have done it. And as a matter of fact, I can tell you, in the 80s, there were secret capabilities of the United States that when Congress people went to China, they openly told the Chinese of our intelligence capabilities. Were we surprised that all of a sudden China had closed those doors and shut those windows so that we couldn't see anymore? Or know what they were doing is what I mean. So I'm here to tell you that we've had deep state operatives and people deliberately look at what Clinton did with the Loral. I'm all tongue-tied. If you want to know what Clinton did, there's a perfect timeline by MSNBC, Winterm and Curry, that is right there. I believe it's on the podcast page. Go to the very, very bottom. It is just a link. You don't even see anything, but it basically is a disclosure of Clinton and how he was treasonous to the United States and how he should be impeached. Go through that. Again, this is MSNBC disclosing this. Look at MSNBC now. MSNBC has been completely ensconced in the deep state. What happened? Anyway, so let me get back to where I was. A precise knowledge of our relations with I've already gone through that paragraph. The commissioners under the fifth article of the Treaty of Ghent, having disagreed in their opinions respecting that portion of the boundary between the territories of the United States and of Great Britain, the establishment of which had been submitted to them, have made their respective reports in compliance with that article, that the same might be referred to the decision of a friendly power. It being manifest, however, that it would be difficult, if not impossible, for any power to perform that office without great delay and much inconvenience to itself, a proposal has been made by this government to accede to by that of Great Britain to endeavor to establish that boundary by amicable negotiations, it appearing from long experience that no satisfactory agreement could be formed of the commercial intercourse between the United States and the British colonies in this hemisphere by legislative acts, while each party pursued its own course without agreement or concert with the other. A proposal has been made to the British government to regulate this commerce by treaty, and it has been to arrange in like manner the just claim of the citizens of the United States inhabiting the states and territories bordering on the lakes and rivers, which empty into the St. Lawrence, to the navigation of that river to the ocean. For these and other objects of high importance to the interest of both parties, a negotiation has been opened with the British government, which is hoped will have a satisfactory result. If you can see how we have, one, revolted, and then finally, you know, convinced Britain that they can't raise a finger to us, in the War of 1812, you can kind of see how they're still behaving badly. It's not like Britain became, you know, the let's just say the model citizen of the community, the, you know, the exemplar of civility. And so you can really see a historical gleam that Britain already had, and Britain maintained levels of, I'll just say, evil intent towards America. They were no longer going to be openly hostile, but they were going to be touting their line, and they weren't going to be civil on the other side of these rivers and boundaries. And this is what Monroe's pointing out, and why we had to start taking, because it means that Britain is basically still almost putting itself in a position where it can come back to America with hostility. Now, I'm going to leap ahead in time. Look at the Civil War and what happened and transposed after the Civil War. See, we were fine. And in the 14th Amendment, Section 4, the framers of that amendment basically laid the line out that said the United States is not accountable for any debts incurred by the rebellion. In other words, the southern states had to basically pay this debt. Now, the southern states couldn't pay this debt. The southern states were put into this economic turmoil because instead of actually trying to move forward, the governments and the people in the southern states at that point in time were actually, they were aggravated, well, let's say, I guess they were being adjutants, and they were doing everything they can to act like spoiled kids instead of actually becoming, it gets hard for people to actually become the adult. Even adults have a hard time being the adult when it's time for them to change their behavior. It's a sad fact. It is a sad indictment on the character of the people, you know, anybody that can't do that. You know, we all make mistakes, and it's time when we all have to sit down and get on our knees in humility and say, look, it took Lincoln 2 years to prostrate himself before the Lord, before the Creator, and say, what am I doing wrong? And he got up and got things, he started getting things right, but he still had this hardness in his heart towards failure and then holding people accountable. This is why it is my submission to you that Lincoln could not, for this nation to heal, that his attitude had to go away. We had to actually unite, and he wasn't uniting. And it, just like the Southerners weren't uniting as well. And what the society, the mores of people were doing was basically setting us up to what we're dealing with today, from the Civil Rights Act of the 60s and so forth. I mean, we should never have had to go through that. Had we been adults, we would have actually grown up and come to a civil course forward from the Civil War. But we never did. Ah, and as a matter of fact, you should read Thomas Sowell's book, Black Rednecks and White Liberals. You really need to take a look at it because you can really see both sides had contempt and problems that instead of humbling ourselves, instead of getting on our knees and figuring out how to move forward together, well, everybody started posturing and everybody started going in the wrong direction. And it was wrong on both sides. But those who afflict oppression, those who afflict the oppression upon the freedmen and the blacks in America with the Jim Crow laws and those types of things, I don't want to be there when they have to do their reckoning with the Lord. That's all I have to say. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Sorry about that. I didn't realize I had a hot mic. And so, let me just say this. Personally, I know that I, you know, have very, you know, my share of things to cringe in front of my judgment seat. But to be responsible for the heartbreak, the hardship that was cast upon so many people, I am so glad that I was never in that situation where that cup fell upon me. And so I do know, you know, I know our Savior and our Creator loves us, and I know that there is mercy in their bowels. But you know, we really do need to repent. And so I'm always a proponent of when I do wrong, you know, if you call it out and you tell me how, because 9 times out of 10 it may not have been I really did wrong, but I may have hurt your feelings, and that's a reality. As I kind of talked deeply about that yesterday, that we're all way too thin-skinned. And it never hurts. It never hurts to apologize to somebody for hurting their feelings. You don't necessarily have to admit you're wrong, but you can admit that maybe you were insensitive. Maybe you were, you know, not thinking but it wasn't your intent to hurt their feelings. And so there you go. But we have to start recognizing that when, you know, we demand. I mean, I come right out and I'll tell a few people, you know, this person owes me an apology, but they won't. I know they won't, but it doesn't mean I hold that over them that I can't forgive them. I'm not a throw the baby out with the bathwater. But anyway, let me move forward with this. The commissioner, under the 6th and 7th articles of the Treaty of Ghent, having successfully closed their labors in relation to the 6th, have proceeded to the discharge of those relating to the 7th. Their progress in the extensive survey required for the performance of their duties justifies the presumption that it will be completed in the ensuing year. The negotiation, which had been long depending with the French government on several important subjects, and particularly for a just indemnity for losses sustained in the late wars by the citizens of the United States under unjustifiable seizures and confiscations of their property, has not as yet had been desired effect, as this claim rests on the same principle with others which have been admitted by the French government. It is not perceived on what ground it can be rejected. A minister will be immediately appointed to proceed to France and resume the negotiations on this and other subjects which may arise between the two nations. I mean, how many people have learned in history that America was having seizures and being, you know, hostily treated on foreign waters and, you know, in neutral lands or on their land? And so here Monroe's basically, so he's pointing to Britain. Now he's pointing to France. We're going to deal with them. We're not going to take this. At the proposal of the Russian imperial government, made through the minister of the emperor residing here, a full power and instructions have been transmitted to the minister of the United States of St. Petersburg to arrange by amicable negotiation the respective rights and interests of the two nations on the northwest coast of this continent. A similar proposal had been made by His Imperial Majesty to the government of Great Britain, which has likewise been acceded to. The government of the United States has been desirous by this friendly proceeding of manifesting the great value which they have invariably attached to the friendship of the emperor and their solicitude to cultivate the best understanding with his government. In the discussions to which this interest has given rise, and in the arrangements by which they may terminate the occasion, has been judged proper for asserting as a principle in which the rights and interests of the United States are involved, that the American continents, by the free and independent condition which they have assumed and maintained, are henceforth not to be considered as subjects for future colonization by any European powers. There you go, friends. And see, he's pointing out how both Britain and Russia has basically been looking and saying, you know, we want to colonize this west side of this continent. But America was actually, can you say that Monroe was a visionary and the intent of growing beyond just the Louisiana Purchase? Because the Louisiana Purchase already took us into the Pacific Northwest. And so it was only natural to try to pursue all of the land south of that and some of the land to the north, if not all of the land. Look at Great Britain's involvement in British Columbia and some of those northern provinces going up into Alaska. How much, it's only speculation, but when you really look at the people there, we made deals. Bottom line, we made concessions with Great Britain to secede that line to Canada to allow Britain to maintain its foothold in America. I think that was a huge mistake. I think that we should have kept on pressing and demanding Britain get its nasty feet out of the Western Hemisphere, period. The same with all of the European powers. Now, Russia was a little bit different. I don't think Russia was, you know, as ardent. And as a matter of fact, they had some hardships befall them. And so go look at when we ended up purchasing Alaska from Russia. And go look at, you know, why they were having these hardships. You can see the divine hand of providence has been involved in the shaping of government and the shaping of the framework of government, as well as the boundaries and everything else. Anyway, since the close of the last session of Congress, the commissioners and arbiters for assenting and determining the amount of indemnification which may be due to the citizens of the United States under the decision of His Imperial Majesty, the Emperor of Russia, in conformity to the convention concluded at St. Petersburg on the 12th of July, 1822, have assembled in this city and organized themselves as a board to the performance of the duties assigned to them by that treaty, the commission constituted under the 11th article of the treaty in 1819, which was the 22nd of February, between the United States and Spain is also in session here. And as the term of these three limited by the treaty for the execution of the trust will expire before the period of the next regular meeting of Congress, the attention of the legislature will be drawn to the measures which may be necessary to accomplish the objects for which the commission was instituted. In compliance with a resolution of the House of Representatives adopted at the last session, instructions have been given to all the ministers of the United States accredited to the powers of Europe and America to propose the proscription of the African slave trade by classing it under the denomination and inflicting on its perpetrators the punishment of piracy. See, my friends? The American government had already turned and actually started going after these pirates. This was in 1823. Did you learn that in school? Or what are you hearing, that America was just this promoting of, you know, and embracing slavery until the Civil War? There's a reason why the progressives are revising your history, and understanding this Monroe Doctrine is critical. In compliance with a resolution of the House of Representatives adopted at their last session, instructions have been given to all ministers of the United States accredited to the powers of Europe and America to propose the prescription of the Should this proposal be acceded to, it is not doubted that this odious and criminal practice will be promptly and entirely suppressed. It is earnestly hoped that it will be acceded to from the firm belief that it is the most effectual expedient and can be adopted for the purpose. At the commencement of the recent war, oh, by the way, you do realize that when they started shutting down the slave trade from Europe, or I should say from African Europe, what these slave traders started to do was they started to actually move the slave trade down into South America so that they could, you know, bring them there, and then the deals were being brought so that they would be coming up from those ports into the Gulf Coast and so forth. And, you know, it's like they weren't going to give up. It took a while for us to finally get to this point. And this was basically due to the hard work and efforts of Madison being focused on that along with this war, and Monroe keeping to that. And as I've said before, Monroe actually coming to actualize Jefferson's plan of repatriating Africans back to Liberia, which is why Monrovia even exists. Anyway, at the commencement of the recent war between France and Spain, it was declared by the French government that it would grant no commissions to privateers, and that neither the commerce of Spain herself nor neutral nations should be molested of the naval force of France except in the breach of lawful blockade. And so we will pick it up from there when we come back. I hope this is helping. I hope this is putting things into context as to America's history and the importance of the Monroe Doctrine and how we were turning a corner. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. Set the record straight. Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, this declaration, right back into it. This declaration, because this is our last segment for today. This declaration, which appears to have been faithfully carried into effect, concurring with principles proclaimed and cherished by the United States from the first establishment of their independence, suggested the hope that the time had arrived when the proposal for adopting it as a permanent and invariable rule in all future maritime wars might meet the favorable consideration of the great European powers. Instructions have been accordingly been given to our ministers with France, Russia, and Great Britain to make those proposals to their respective governments. And when the friends of humanity reflect on the essential amelioration of the condition of the human race, which would result from the abolishing or the abolish of private war on sea and on the great faculty by which it might be accomplished, requiring only the consent of a few sovereigns, an earnest hope is indulged that these overtures will meet with an attention animated by the spirit in which they were made, and that will ultimately be successful. The ministers who were appointed to the Republics of Colombia and Buenos Aires during the last session of Congress proceeded shortly afterwards to their destinations of the arrival there. Official intelligence has not been yet received. The minister appointed to the Republic of Chile will sail in a few days. An early appointment will also be made to Mexico. A minister has been received from Colombia, and other governments have been informed that ministers or diplomat agents of inferior grade would be received from each accordingly as they might prefer to one or the other. I want you to understand something. These ministers and the reception and everything else was all in good faith and in good diplomacy of friendship amongst nations. When America started getting and doing this at this time, We were seeking to help become that beacon of liberty to the world. This was a civil approach. Now, I want you to think. The European powers were in play in the Western Hemisphere from the 15th century, or not the 15th, 16th century. And so from the 1500s till here in the 1800s, it's almost 300 years. Now, America had its revolution, but even prior to that, how many nations were actually emissaries or openly friendly with other nations in this tone of civility? What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to actually give you the historic context to where civility became a standard and a norm, and it was not necessarily exemplary by Great Britain, but France was kind of there too. And when you saw America actually turn and create its independence, the French were one of the first ones in to actually embrace a civil relation with the United States in some respects. It wasn't until the French Revolution where France took a nasty turn. My point is, look at the South and look at the Portuguese and the Spaniards and those nations of that area, the Ottoman Empire and those who border it. They were warring nations. They didn't care. They really didn't have that same level of civility. As a matter of fact, if you look at how they established those countries to the south of us, they were brutal. They didn't follow the laws of nations. They ignored them. They did whatever was necessary. Remember, Cortez was also dubbed Cortez the murderer. Just like the Aztecs were murderers of their own people. Friends, if you look at the most honorable history, or I should say the nations that did their expansions during the time of this world's expansion, you can start with Egypt and the great empire of Egypt. How civil was Egypt in their expansion? How civil was Rome in their expansion? How civil was the Western societies in their expansion? As a matter of fact, as nations had to fight for their independence in the days of Egypt and the days of Rome, it would never have happened. In other words, because the projection of force was limited. I mean, Egypt was able to project force over the world, and Rome was pretty close over, you know, most of Asia and Europe, but they didn't project force over to the, you know, Western Hemisphere. Neither of them did. We finally grew to a point of being able to navigate waters and get back and forth and back and forth and back and forth efficiently. I mean, we created a level of knowledge and efficiency in commerce going across the great oceans. So society had finally grown to a point, and society was not necessarily as barbaric as it was in the Egyptian Empire or the Roman Empire. It became more civil because of, as we look at the cradle of civilization coming from Greece and as I mentioned yesterday, Aristotle. My point is this, that there were lots of reasons why Britain was given the North American sphere, or I should say this part of North America, because there were no riches. Spain didn't see, or Portugal, none of these other nations, even France, didn't see the, you know, what's there other than this rich, fertile land that would take years and effort to, you know, to cultivate and develop. They all ignored it except for Britain. Britain saw the commercial applications of this part of this continent. Now, up to the north, there were lots of, you know, fur and all sorts of things. But actually, Britain was the one that came in and actually established the best parts of the North America. This was by design, because I want you to look at, had, you know, any of these other warring nations of Portugal or Spain been able to, you know, control all of Northern Hemisphere, our history would be much different. Or let's reverse the roles and say one of the Indian tribes, one of the Native American tribes that became the dominant, most powerful tribe, and it, because they were warring people too, became so dominant and became so advanced that they could project their force across the great waters, that they were open in doing those types of things, I believe they would have been marauders and murderers in Europe than they would have been, because look at how they treated each other. And look at how they treated the buffalo. Everybody looks at the whites as hunting the buffalo. They actually caused goat, I forget what it's called over here in Montana, but go to those bluffs where the tribes of the area, I think the Crow or whatever, they would actually scare the buffalo and run them off the cliffs so that they could just harvest it instead of having to spend. It was easier to do that than it was to just hunt. And so, yeah, the white man being, or the Westerners being the guy that wanted to hunt for a trophy, we weren't just killing and leaving the bodies at the bottom of a cliff. So a really good book that I highly recommend that gives you an honest, unvarnished look at American history is called A Patriotic Guide to the History of the United States. And it's by Allen and Swigert. Go read that, because they actually tell you some of these truths that you would never have learned any other way if you've not read that book. So, anywho, let me move on. The minister appointed to Spain proceeded soon after his appointment to Cadiz, the residence of the sovereign to whom he was accredited. In approaching that port, the frigate was conveyed him was warned off by the commander of the French squadron by which it was blockaded and not permitted to enter. Although appraised by the captain of the frigate of the public character of the person whom he had board and landing of whom was the sole object of his proposed entry, this act being considered an infringement of the rights of ambassadors and of nations, will form a just cause of complaint to the government of France against the officer by whom it was committed. I mean, so you see here, folks, he's even pointing to they were still being governed by what? By the laws of nations. Okay, so we now can start seeing that there was this code, there was this civility that drove Western society, that these nations were actually, they all committed supposedly to adhere to. But when they got emotional, heads came off. When they got emotional, they started violating the law themselves. And so this is what ended up happening. The actual condition of the public finances more than realizes the favorable anticipations that were entertained of it. At the opening of last session of Congress on the 1st of January, there was a balance in the Treasury of $4,237,427.55. From that time to the 30th of September, the end of the fiscal year, the receipts amounted to upward of $16.1 million. Now, most people think that Andrew Jackson completely shedded us of debt. Yeah, it seems like Monroe was pretty much on the way of doing that, if you understand what I'm saying. Anyway, because our revenues were able to help us pay off that debt. Folks, this is the truth of history, and this is why our Constitution and our history can be our weapon. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.